Morning, everybody. Our week's portion is Behar Bechukotai. We'll read this Shabbat to Parshiyot, Behar and Bechukotai, and with it we conclude the book of Vayikra. The book of Vayikra, not as the books of Bereshit Shmot or Bamidbar, is not a book that tells us about the Jewish nation, their development, the way they became the nation of Hashem, and so on. It's a book that tells us mitzvot, a list of mitzvot. There are two books like this, Vayikra and Dvarim, give us a list of mitzvot, while Bereshit Shmot and Bamidbar tell us the different stories about the Jewish nation, mankind in general. So we are in the book of Vayikra and we are at the end. After the Torah discussed all the mitzvot that are written in this book, the Torah tells us what will be the consequences of keeping the mitzvot in the way we should, and what will be the consequences, if God forbid, we won't. It's a famous chapter that I want to concentrate on today. It's called the Brachot and Klalot, the blessings, if we'll keep the mitzvot, and the curses, if we won't, or if we won't do it in the proper way. So I want to take a look at the blessings and the curses, and we'll do it stage by stage. The blessings and the curses are written in the Torah twice, once at the end of the book of Vayikra, our week's portion. And the other time, it's in the end, towards the end of the book of Dvarim. And we will also compare the two places to each other based on what our sages enlighten us to see. So we'll start with our week's portion. I am in the States. I don't have with me the five books of Art Scroll. So I'll have to tell you just the chapter and the pasuk, and hope that you will find it. So we are in the beginning of Parashat Bechukotai. If any of you has the page, please let us know. Beginning of Bechukotai, and it's verse number three. It's the beginning of the portion. So the Torah starts in Bechukotai Telechu. If you will follow in my decrees and observe my commandments and perform them. And then there is a list of blessings. I want you to look at the Hebrew, not at the English, just to see what is the first letter that the Torah starts with when the Torah discusses the blessings. It starts with im, if, and aleph. And it goes all through verse number 13, the blessings. And the last word is komemiyut, ends with the letter taf. And our sages draw our attention that these blessings, this list of blessings that will be the result of us keeping the Torah and the mitzvot in the proper way, starts with an aleph and ends with a taf. Why those letters? So aleph till taf basically includes all the Hebrew alphabet, and includes in it all that is written in the Torah, right? Everything that is in the Torah is with the letters Aleph till Taf. So it tells us if you'll keep the whole Torah on one hand, and it tells us also that you'll get all the blessings possible from the beginning till the end, Aleph till Taf, which is an unbelievable level of blessings. Our sages in the Midrash interpret for us the psukim and what they say about the blessings and give us an unbelievable picture. The first thing that the Midrash indicates to us is the beginning of verse number 12, where the Torah says, I will walk among you. I'll walk among you, ve'italachti v'tochachem. Hashem will walk among us. What does it mean? So Rashi says it will be the same situation as first man had in Gan Eden, in paradise. Hashem, it's written in the Torah, Vehitalachti, right? I walked in Gan Eden with first man, and Rashi explains like somebody takes a walk with a friend. Now, this does not mean that first man won't see the awesomeness of Hashem and won't feel the greatness of the moment, but still he'll be able, so to speak, to walk with Hashem. That's a reality that we don't experience here. And we never experienced it since first man went out of Gan Eden. It was only the reality of Gan Eden. And Hashem tells us, in other words, if you keep the Torah the proper way, you'll come back to this reality. The reality of first man before the sin. The reality of the creation, the way it should be before it was affected by wrongdoings. And the same the Midrash says on other things that are written here. It's written here, earth will give its produce, says the Midrash, not as it is today, but on the same day that you will plant, you'll get it. It won't take time. You'll put a seed in the ground, the same day you have produce. The same will be with the fruits of the trees. The Etz HaSadeh Yiten Pirio, the trees will bear fruits. This happens even when we don't do the will of Hashem. So where will be the difference in the time that it will take? It won't take time, the same day. The same with trees that are not bearing fruits will start to give fruits, and so on. Descriptions that describe to us the reality of first man before the sin. So there is a great promise here. It will include, if we keep the Torah properly, it will include all the blessings, and it will bring the world back to its ideal stage of first man before the sin. That's unbelievable, right? Now, let's go to what will happen if, God forbid, we don't do the will of Hashem. So in verse number 14, and I want you to look at the Hebrew, the Torah says, Ve'im lo tishmeu li, and if you won't listen to me. And what is the letter that it starts with? The letter Vav. And our sages don't do it in every place in the Torah, telling us insights into every paragraph based on the letters that it starts with and ends with. But here they do. In this part of the Torah, the blessings and the curses, the beginning and the end letters of the blessings, the beginning and the end letters of the curses have a message in them. And our sages often have our eyes to see it. So they tell us the curses start with Vav, the letter Vav. And how do they end? If you go all the way later on, okay, you'll see that it ends with the letter Mem. Okay, it's the end of verse number 33. If you look at the Hebrew, the last verse is Ga'ala Nafsham, ends with a Mem. So the curses end with a Mem. They start with the Vav and end with an M. What does it tell us? What is the meaning of letter Vav in the Torah? In this connection of the curses, and what's the meaning of the letter Mem? So let's start with the Vav. The Vav indicates the world after the sin, meaning the world when it was not anymore in its ideal stage of Gan Eden. First man was already chased out of Gan Eden, and six things are mentioned by our sages that were affected and are not as ideal anymore as they were in Gan Eden. And when the Torah starts with the Vav, the Torah tells us as a result of wrongdoings, reality is affected in six ways. And the Torah tells us what were the six things that changed when first man committed the sin. How was he and the world affected? So they say the following. There was a glow, a ziv in Hebrew, that shined through the face of Adam HaRishon before the sin. Even after the sin, he still was on a very high level, and there was an unbelievable glow that came out that you could see on his face, but it was not anymore what it was before the sin. So that's one thing that was affected. A diminishing in the aura that was seen on the face of first man. Second thing, his life, he was supposed to live forever, and he died eventually as a result of the sin. So it's another thing. His height, he got shorter after the sin, and the fruits of the land and the produce of the land. As we said before, before the sin, took a day for them to grow, and now it's many, many months, right? And also the luminaries were affected. They were diminished a little bit after the sin. So basically the letter Vav is an indication of six things that were affected by the fact that wrongdoings were done. And that's the world that we are born into. Since after the sin of first man, every human being is born into a reality that is not ideal, that is not perfect. What first man did affected all of mankind till the times of Mashiach. As a result of the fact that there were wrongdoings, Hashem tells us the following. You see, the reality was affected by the wrongdoings of first man. If God forbid you will not follow my laws, my ordinances, the world will be further affected, and there will be many different things that will not be the way we wish they would be, and it will be difficult and hard. And why so? Because via these difficulties, the challenges that they present us, if we deal with them properly, if we learn from them and grow via them, we can bring the world back to what it was before. So on a superficial level, difficulties, suffering, curses are very bad. But if we know that it leads, that via it, we can come back to the original situation that is beyond any grasp even in our reality, in its goodness, it gives us the strength to go through it, learn from it, grow from it, and eventually Mashiach will come. Okay? So that's the blessings. And the curses from Vav till Mem. So we explain the Vav. What is the Mem? Where is this coming from? So our sages refer us to a verse in Yeshayahu. There is a verse in Yeshayahu that discusses the time of Hezekiah, one of the kings of the Jewish people at the time of the first temple. He was one of the last kings at the time of the first temple, and he was a very righteous person. His father and grandfather were very wicked, but he created a revolution. And people returned to Torah in his times in a very significant way. Okay. It's outside, people are working. I hope we can continue to hear, that you can continue to hear me. Anyhow, so he was a very righteous king, and he caused the revolution of returning to Torah and mitzvot in his time. In his time, Sanherib, the king of Ashur, came to fight the Jewish people. There was no way that naturally the Jewish people will overcome them. They spoke against Hashem, against Torah. They were very wicked people and very strong. They came to Jerusalem, put a siege around it, and it was almost imminent that they will conquer Jerusalem. But Hashem performed the Ness, a miracle, and the soldiers, the whole army, went to sleep at night and didn't wake up in the morning. It was an unbelievable miracle in the merit of Hezekiah and all that he did with the people. And our sages tell us that there is a prophecy about him in the book of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu discusses the fact that he is going to be born, and that the nation that was in a time of darkness will see a great light, referring to this miracle that we are discussing. And then the Torah tells us that he will be the one with the greatness in dominion, meaning he'll be a king the way a Jewish king is supposed to be. And he'll be given powers from Hashem, unbelievable powers. But when the Torah tells us that he will have dominion, the Hebrew word in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu is Misra. Misra is a position, a dominion. And there is something very interesting about this word and the way it's written in Yeshayahu. If you want to look it up, I'll tell you where in Yeshayahu it is written. I wrote it down for you. Just a second. Okay, I think it's chapter 9 in Yeshayahu, but I'll see soon where it is, where I wrote it. But anyhow, so the word Misra starts with the letter Mem, right? Usually, there are two ways to write Mem in Hebrew. One when it's in the middle or the beginning of the letter, and one when it's in the end. In the end, it's like a square closed on all four sides. When it's in the middle, there is an openness. So the verb Misra, even though the Mem is in the beginning of the verb, it's written as if it would have been in the end. It's a square locked from all sides. And our sages say that it indicates towards the saying of our sages. Our sages say that Hashem wanted to make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach. And he wanted to make Sancheriv, the non-Jewish king who came to fight the Jewish people, into Gog Magog. And he wanted the war between Ashur and the Jewish people to become the final war. And afterwards, Chizkiyahu will become Mashiach. It didn't happen for whatever reason. We won't go into it. Our sages indicate why, but I won't go into it because it demands a lot of explanation and it will take us away from our topic. But anyhow, so we see that the letter Mem, dominion, is an indication of the dominion, ultimate dominion that Mashiach will have. In other words, it hints towards Mashiach. So let's go back now to the curses, the way they are written in Chumash Vayikra. They start with the letter Vav, that indicates a world that is not perfect anymore. Six things were affected. And it indicates to us that in order to come to Mashiach, we have to correct those six things by keeping Torah and Mitzvot. And the way to correct it, being that you committed sins, if you keep the words of Hashem, it will happen anyhow, but if we don't, God forbid, then we will have to go through different levels of suffering. And via them, we'll correct all the wrongdoings, and eventually it will end with a Mem, Mashiach will come. And then we'll come back to what was before the sin, the ideal reality. The Zohar says on it that as long if we don't keep the words of Hashem, as long as we don't go through all the suffering that is disguised in this psukim of curses, Mashiach cannot come. So obviously it encourages us to do the will of Hashem and get blessings that are beyond our grasp, because it includes not only what is now and what we can see happening in our reality, but even going back to the ideal stage of before the sin. And it's to warn us, don't do wrong, because if you'll do wrong, God forbid, you'll have to go through every detail of these things, right? What is horrible, right? And only then Mashiach will come. But as I said before, there is another place in the Torah where the blessings and the curses are mentioned. And I want you to look at towards the end of Chumash Dvarim. It's in Parashat Ki Tavo. It's chapter 28 in Chumash Dvarim. If you don't find it, it's okay. I'll explain anyhow. Okay? So, the blessings there start with the letter Vav. Vehaya, and it will be. If you will listen to the voice of Hashem and so on, you'll do the right things, then there is a list of blessings. When we look into the beginning, it's the letter Vav. We said the letter Vav speaks about a reality that is not ideal. Doesn't start with Aleph, doesn't include all the blessings. It speaks about the reality as we know it now and good things that will happen that we can grasp, that we know about, that we experience at different times, right? That's the blessings. Now, how do the blessing end? They end at the end of verse number 14, also with a mem. But it tells us you start from a well that is not ideal, you'll get blessings now in the well the way it is, but eventually you'll come to Mashiach. So even though we don't start with the ideal, and in this world we won't experience the ideal, if we follow in the ways of Hashem, we'll come to Mashiach. Then we the men. Now let's go to the curses. Verse number 15. It starts with the Vav, again, the same way that it started in Vayikra. Vehayayim lo tishma. And it will be if you don't listen. But interestingly enough, it doesn't end with the mem. It ends with the hey. If you look at verse number 68, the last three words is the ein kone. You'll be sold as slaves, and nobody will want to buy you even as a slave. And the last letter is hey. So very interesting. The curses start with the Vav and end with the Hey. What is the Hey? We'll have to understand. And why not with the Mem? Mashiach, right? After all this suffering, it will be a Hey, not a Mem. And more than this, our sages draw our attention to the fact that the order of the letters is opposite, starting with the Vav, ending with the Hey. The order of the alphabet is Hey before the Vav. But here it's Vav and then a Hey. So they say the curses are upside down. Are not in the wrong, in the right order. So let's sum up what is in Dvarim. Blessings that start with the Vav, with a well that is not ideal. But they end the same way as in Vayikra, Mashiach, Mem. The curses start with a Vav, like in Vayikra, but they don't end in a Mem. They end in a Hey. Why? Our sages compare the two places, the blessings and curses that are written in Vayikra to the blessing and the curses that are written in Dvarim. Before we explain the Hey, we have to hear what our sages do when they compare the two places. If we'll understand the nature of the two places and what they convey, we'll understand also why the letter Hey will be at the end and not the Mem. So our sages say the following, and I'll read and translate. Rabbi Abba, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, says, I contemplated the blessings and I contemplated the curses, meaning I looked into them and I wanted to see what message do they give me, right? What do they indicate? And he says, I saw blessings from Aleph Ataf. We saw it too, right? And I saw curses from Vav till Hey. And not only are they from Vav till Hey and not from Vav till Mem, but they are not in the right order. And commentaries on this saying ask a very obvious question. The Midrash compares the blessings in Vayikra to the curses in Dvarim. Why the jump from one Chumash to the other? You want to understand the blessings and the curses. Look at the blessings in Vayikra and the curses in Vayikra. And then in the blessings of Dvarim and the curses of Dvarim. Why do they take the blessings from Vayikra, from Aleph till Tav, and the curses of Dvarim that are from Vav till He? And they pay attention to two things. A, that it's not Vav and Mem, as we had in Vayikra, but it's Vav and He. And they pay attention also that the order is opposite. Vav and then a He. And it continues and says, Amar Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Avin says, it's another sage, says, if you merit, I'll turn for you the blessing, the curses into blessings. If you'll keep my mitzvot, then I'll turn the curses into blessings. What does it teach me? Which insight did these sages see by comparing the blessings in Vayikra to the curses in Dvarim, and the fact that the curses in Dvarim have the letters Vav, Hey in the opposite order, in the wrong order. Okay? The Ramban deals with the question of why does the Torah repeat the blessings and the curses twice in the Torah? Once in Vayikra, and why once in Dvarim? It seems that they give the same message. Keep the Torah, you'll have blessings. Be careful not to violate it, because then you'll have curses. Why does it have to be in two Chumashim? And obviously, in order to answer the question, one has to study both places, compare them to each other, and see why they are repeated. So the Ramban says something fascinating. He says the first time that it's written in the Torah, it refers to the era of the first temple, in terms of the blessings and the curses. The most blessed time that we had in our history was at least the beginning of the time of the first temple. If you think about the time of King Solomon, it was almost ideal. So the brachot here that speaks about Aleph till Taf are the closest to the time of Shlomo HaMelech. When we go into the curses, and he goes into details that I won't do now, he proves that it's really a historical description of what happened at the time of the first destruction. While Dvarim, he says, speaks about the time of the second temple. It was not as ideal. The blessings don't start with an Aleph. It's written that the people who were elderly at the time of the building of the second temple, who still have seen the first one, cried when it was built, because in comparison to the first temple, it was not the same story, it was much lower. There were five things in the first temple that did not happen in the second. So for them, it was very sad. For the people who didn't see the first, it was very happy, right? Because in comparison to the exile, it was great, but it was not ideal. So it speaks about the second temple. The blessings are not as unbelievable, but the curses are also not as difficult. If we look into the curses, we'll see that it thinks that are horrible, but we can relate. And the blessings also. They are wonderful, but it's not what is written in Vayikra. So it's another era. And by learning it, it gives us the strength when we go through these hard times. After the first destruction, after the second destruction, it could be very discouraging, and it could cause us to feel that we were abandoned by Hashem. But when we see that the Torah indicates from the very beginning that this will happen if we, God forbid, don't keep the Torah, and it ends up telling us that even though this will happen, eventually it will lead us to the times of Mashiach, and it's the suffering that will really help us to get there. It gives us something to hold on to at the times that are difficult. Okay? So, according to the Ramban, it's the first temple and the second temple. Now, based on what our sages say, the explanation of the Ramban, I'm going to explain to you now something that is written in the book Zera Shimshon. It's a book that the whole class is taken from, Zera Shimshon. It was the person who did not have children, wrote this book. That's why I called it Zera, right? Descendancies. And he promised big blessings to people who will study his book. And he explains the following. He says, the Zohar HaKadosh, looking at what's written in Vayikra, tells us there will be no way to come to the time of Mashiach if he committed sins and if he deserves curses, unless we'll go through all of them. Because Hashem doesn't want to punish us. Hashem wants us to have the best. And that's why he promises us, eventually you'll get to Mashiach. I put you to start with in paradise, and I want you to get there again and to go even beyond the goodness of paradise. And I'll ensure that it will happen. So the curses that are written correspond to what we did that wasn't right. And it's like the right medicine for the right sicknesses. The first temple was destroyed because of particular sins that our sages tell us. Idol worship, immorality, murder, right? The curses will help us to overcome these challenges. And if we follow what Hashem said, eventually we will get to the times of Mashiach. But the Zohar HaKadosh says, you have to go through everything because it's the medicine for wrongdoings, for the sicknesses, for the spiritual deficiencies. And if you don't correct them, how could you get to Mashiach? So, yes, we have a final promise, right? It will be wonderful. But the journey will be very painful and maybe very, very long as well. So that's Chumash Vayikra. We know that there is a difference between Chumash Vayikra and Chumash Dvarim, or between the first Chumashim and Chumash Dvarim. The first four Chumashim are written as Hashem speaks to us in first person. Shema Israel, listen Israel, right? Hashem tells us, right? Listen, Israel, Hashem Elokeinu, I'm sorry. Let's take another pasuk. That's from Dvarim, right? Hashem speaks to us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God, right? It's in first person, the whole Chumash. And it says, Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe, Leimor. Hashem tells Moshe what to say, and Moshe says. So it's directly from Hashem to Moshe, and Moshe tells us. Chumash Dvarim is the words that Moshe told us before he passed away on the last days of his life. Hashem agreed with him, but he has an input into what's written. It has the same holiness as the first four because Hashem agreed with him. But there is an input of Moshe Rabbeinu into this book. And it's considered the link between the written Torah and the oral Torah. The oral Torah, we write, we develop, right? The written is given directly from Hashem. And Dvarim is something in between. So there is an input of Moshe in the book of Dvarim. So when this chapter of blessings and curses is written again in Dvarim, it comes as the words of Moshe, and he gives us an input. What did we learn about Vayikra? We said, if we will do the wrong thing, It will be very, very difficult, and we will have to wait till Mashiach comes, and then eventually it will be good. Moshe Rabbeinu does not end the curses with a mem that indicates Mashiach, as we said. Okay? There is a verse that discusses Nehemiah coming back to the land of Israel after the Babylonian era, after the Babylon era, after the exile, in order to build the second temple. The king of Babylon gave him permission to go to the land of Israel and build the second temple. And it's described in the book of Nehemiah, the whole process, how he got the permission, how many obstacles he had in building the second temple. And Nehemiah says the following: I went to Jerusalem to see its walls and to see its gates, and I saw that it's broken. Hem prutzim, a pirza is a hole, an opening in a wall. Like when we describe that the enemies came and broke the walls of Jerusalem, when they came before the destruction on 17 of Tammuz, we say, Farzu chomot migdalai. Lifrotz is to break a hole in a wall. So Nehemiah describes that he comes to Jerusalem and he goes outside at night and he sees the walls of Jerusalem prutzim, broken. And he says, hem, zei, meaning the walls, prutzim. Hem, prutzim. How should the word hey, hem, be written? Hem, hey, and mem that is in the end of a verb should be a mem that looks like a square closed from all over. Right? And interestingly enough, it's written with a mem that usually we write in the beginning or in the middle of a word. It's open. And our sages say about it the following. Our sages say that the Radak explained, right, one of the commentaries of Nehemiah of Tanach, of prophecies, right, says the following: Ka'asher isatmu chomot Yerushalayim, when the walls of Yerushalayim will be again built without any openings, those walls that are now broken, there are different openings there that were made by the enemies, then they will close, right? They are open all through exile. When they will be closed, then the ultimate dominion will be given and it will be Mashiach. So very interesting. We have a discussion about mem in two places. One discussion by Chizkiyahu the king, who was very righteous and almost Mashiach, and over there, a mem that was supposed to be open and show the ultimate dominion is closed up, meaning it's not going to happen. There is another time where we have a discussion about the mem. It's the beginning of an era of the building of the second temple, but it's very sad. It's not like the first. The walls of Jerusalem are broken, and they will remain broken for a long time. But eventually, at the time of redemption, all this brokenness, all these difficulties will be gone. The mem will be closed again. The walls will be closed. And then the dominion of the king of the Jewish people will be the ultimate one. It will be Mashiach. Okay? So, according to Vayikra, We understood that when will this happen? When Mashiach will come, we must go through all the difficulties that are written in Vayikra, that are beyond in their tragedy, tragic, difficult reality. But then came Moshe Rabbeinu and said, wait a minute. It doesn't have to be this way. He said the curses, but ended them with the hey, not with the mem. Mem indicates the time that Mashiach has to come. We know that we have a tradition that the world will not exist more than 6,000 years before Mashiach comes. The ultimate time for Mashiach to come is the end of the sixth millennium, but we are very close to already. Some more than 200 years, Mashiach must come. But Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, we don't have necessarily to go through all of it and wait till then. There is another solution. And the solution is hidden in the letter Hey. So let's see what the letter Hey is all about. What is the letter Hey all about? The letter Hey stands for the concept of tshuva. Tshuva is a result of a sin. So the letter Hey indicates the possibility of sin and the possibility of tshuva that corrects it. How does the letter Hey represent the possibility to sin? Because it's closed on three sides, right? Like a chet, but the bottom is open, indicating that a person can bring himself to fall down by doing wrong things. Or as Chazal call it, motzi'in et ha'adam min ha'olam. There are things, jealousy, following physical desires, pursuing recognition and honor, that take the person out of this world, meaning can fall and lose it. So that's how the hay indicates that it is possible to commit sins. But in one of the legs that is full, on the left side of the hay, there is on the top a small opening that tells us if a person is ready to climb up, it seems like a straight wall, very hard to climb up. But if he climbs up, there is an opening that via it he can come in again. And that's the concept of tshuva. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, yes, when Hashem created the world, he said, no matter what, eventually Mashiach will come, and he set up a time for it. We don't necessarily know when this time is, we just know it's not more than 6,000 years. No matter what we will do, Mashiach will come then. But Moshe Rabbeinu tells us it doesn't mean we have to wait till then. We have the power of tshuva. And the ultimate goal of the curses is to bring us to do tshuva. To bring us to do tshuva. And if we do tshuva on the right level, Mashiach will come before. And that's a big comfort. Right? So we know it will happen anyhow. When? Depends on us. It's written that the Mashiach was met by Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, I think it was, at the gates of Rome. What obviously indicates to us in a metaphoric way an idea. And he asked him, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, when will you come? And he answered by quoting a verse from Psalms. He told him, Hayom, today, if you will listen to Hashem. So that's basically what Moshe Rabbeinu tells us when he ends the curses with the letter Hey. You don't have to wait till the end. Now, what will happen if the time for Mashiach comes? Not via tshuva, but the time comes. And Hashem said this time as the final for his coming. And we didn't do tshuva. God forbid, what will happen then? There will be no point in Mashiach coming. Because if we didn't accomplish what we have to, how will we have the vessel to contain all the goodness, spiritual goodness that Hashem will bestow upon us? It will be like giving sunlight to a person that his eyes are not strong enough to contain it. It will be damaging. So what will happen then? So I want to indicate to you another pasuk in our week's portion that has the answer, and it's a midrash that I'll read to you, a chazal, and it's fascinating. Look at chapter 26, verse number 24. Okay, it's the end of the curses. Which verse did I say? Verse 42. In the right place, that's the second. Yes. Oh, dear. That's the second. Katvav. No, it's fifth. Katvav 42. Yeah. It's chapter 26, verse number 42. It's after the Torah gives us all the curses. And remember, we said we will have to go through all of them, God forbid. And only then Mashiach will come. Tshuva is not mentioned here. But something comforting is written still, because Mashiach must come, right? So let's look at 42. What does the Torah say? The Torah say, I will remember my covenant with Jacob and also my covenant with Yitzchak and my covenant with Yaakov, with Abraham. Will I remember? And I will remember the land. The land will be perfect of them and it will be so and so, right? But then in verse number 24, it's written, but despite all this, with all they will be, with all of it, while they will be in the land of their enemies, meaning it's exile, all the curses are coming through, what will I do? I will not have been revolted by them, nor will I have rejected them to obliterate them, to annul my covenant with them, for I am Hashem their God. So these are very comforting verses. They tell us, without mentioning doing tshuva, eventually, I'll get you back. You'll get to where you're supposed to be. Times will be unbelievable. I'll remember the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, whatever it will be the reasons, but I'll bring Mashiach. But as we said, but if they don't do tshuva, what will be? So I want you to look at the Hebrew and look at the verb Yaakov. How is it written? Okay? It's written in verse number 42. Yaakov is written with a vav. Very interesting. Yaakov. Very interesting. What does this vav do here? So our sages tell us the following, and I'm reading what our sages say. Our sages say that there are five times that the verb Eliyahu, Eliyahu the prophet, is written without a vav, and five times that the verb Yaakov in the Torah is written with an extra vav. The verb Yaakov doesn't need a vav. But there are five times in the Torah that the word Yaakov is written with a vav. Where is this vav coming from? There are five times that the name Eliyahu is written without a vav. And our sages tell us that Yaakov took from Eliyahu a collateral, a letter from his name five times. Okay? The Vav, meaning the times are not ideal. That's what the Vav indicates, right? The Jewish people didn't even do tshuva. What will happen? Yaakov made Eliyahu, made an agreement, so to speak, with Eliyahu the prophet, that he will come and he will return the Jewish people to Hashem. Before Mashiach will come, if we won't do tshuva on our own, Eliyahu will come. He'll bring us to do tshuva, and then Mashiach will come. And this is a hint of compassion in the curses. This is the way that why Hashem tells us, I don't want to punish you. I don't want you to see difficult times, to suffer. I wish that you listen to me and the blessings will come, blessings that you can't even imagine, that you never experienced. Blessings as first man had before the sin. I'll walk with you. Like I walked with Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, like a friend, right? I'll be so close to you. I'll be among you, in the midst of you. And everything physical will be great. Everything spiritual will be great. If I punish you, it's only because you did not live up to my commandments in a way that you caused you not to have the vessel to contain all the good. So it won't help if I bestow good upon you. It will only damage you. So it's worthwhile for you, as difficult as it is, to go through all these difficulties, and eventually, I promise you, you will get to create this vessel, either by yourself, as Moshe Rabbeinu said, via tshuva, and then it can happen today, just do the right thing. And if for whatever reason, all of you together cannot do it, maybe there are individuals who can do it, but not all of us together, then I'll bring Eliyahu, the prophet. He will return you to tshuva, bring you to do tshuva, and then Mashiach will come. If you look at the last prophecy that was given to us, before prophecy was taken away from us, and will be returned only when Mashiach comes. The last prophet was Malachi. And Malachi ends the prophecy by saying that the great day is coming, Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem, behold, I am sending to you Eliyahu Anavi, Eliyahu the prophet, Veheshiv Lev Avot Al Banim, he will return the heart of fathers to the children, ולב בנים אל אבותם, he will unite all the generations. When we don't do the right thing, there is a friction between generations. Sometimes it's fathers who do the will of Hashem and children don't. And sometimes, like in our time, many times, the children do and the parents don't. So Eliyahu will unite all of us and bring us to do the will of Hashem. And then the great day of Hashem will come. So this is already hinted in the Torah, and interestingly enough, in the curses. And this is a very great comfort when we are at difficult times. Today, there are such difficult situations. There are so many people who are suffering, so many people who perish. How many people were killed already, right, in the last 100 years, right? Endless, besides all the, in addition to it, all the suffering, right? And it can easily discourage us. So we can comfort ourselves by reading these parts in the Torah that seemingly feel as if Hashem abandons us. He's not here, otherwise how could it happen? But Hashem says, in this reality, I am with you. It's an indication that I care about you. And I cannot let go of what you can achieve, of where you can be. And what you go through is the way that only Hashem understands how, that can direct you to get there and correct all the wrong things. So let's sum it up. In the book of Vayikra, We start with blessings that are the ultimate, with the world in its beginning till the end of, till the world at the end. The beginning and the end are ideal realities. First one before the sin and Mashiach. We are promised, even though we lost the first ideal reality, we'll come back to it. Mashiach will come. Okay? But we have to go through a process. This is indicated in a very interesting way in the Torah, in something additional to what we discussed. The word toldot, generations of, or story of. The word toldot can have two meanings. These are the generations, and then there is a list, like Reuven, Shimon, Levi, the children of Yaakov, starting with Yaakov and then his children. Then it will mean generations. But it could be also the story of, like in the second chapter in the Torah, it's written, these are the generations of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth don't have generations. What does it mean, generations? Over there, it means this is the story of this world, the history, the narrative of heaven and earth, and what happened with them. The word toldot is written in the Torah many times. Ele toldot Noach, these are the generations of Noach, and so on. Ele toldot Esav, and so on. Many times. In all those places, the word lacks at least one vav, and sometimes two. The word toldot, it's plural, so it has to end with vav taf, like yeled, yeladot. To make it, to turn it into plural, you add a vav and a taf. But the word tolada in singular is also a vav after a taf, to, taf, vav. So the right, the correct way to write toldot is with two vavs. But interestingly enough, in the Torah, sometimes it's written in a way that the first vav is lacking. Sometimes the second vav is not there. And sometimes both vavs are not there. But there are two places in the Torah where it's written the way it should be with two vavs. Meaning, two times where it tells us an ideal reality. Because we said vav stands for the six things that are missing. So when something is missing, it will be indicated by the fact that the vav, six, that's the numerical value of vav, disappeared. Right? And sometimes it's so difficult that two vavs disappear. Right? A hiddenness in within hiddenness. Right? But there are two times that it indicates an ideal reality. One is the first time that it's written in the Torah right after creation. These are the generations of heaven and earth. It's before the sin. It's ideal reality. Everything is perfect. Nothing is missing. The second time that it's written full is when the Torah tells us the generations of Peretz. Peretz was the son of Yehuda, that from him Mashiach will come. He was the ancestor of Mashiach. And over there, it's again written with two vavs to indicate to us. It started in an ideal way. As a result of wrong choices, we live in a reality that is far from ideal. Sometimes more, sometimes less. At the time of Shlomo HaMelech, it was very close to the ideal, but not perfect. At the time of the destruction, it was very far from the ideal. And at the second destruction, even more so. And the time of the Holocaust, even more so. But even referring to what's written in the Torah and described in the Torah, even in those generations, right? From creation till the destruction of the second temple, there was different decrees of hiddenness, of suffering, of difficulty. But we know always it will come back to Mashiach. We are heading towards Toldot with two vavs. The walls of Yerushalayim are open now. Many holes. Many breaches. But eventually, in the same place, It's written in two ways. It's written one way and read a different way. In the two places where the mem appears not in the right way, we read it one way, but we write it in the proper way, in the full way. So, hem prutzim, now the mem is open. We read it this way because that's the reality now. But we write it with a closed mem to say, but there is something hidden here. It's leading towards a closed up reality, ultimate authority. By Chizkiyahu, it's written locked up, an opportunity that was lost. But it's leading towards an opportunity that will happen. So it's written in the ideal way, but we read it as the reality now is. So we can draw a lot of encouragement and know that every bit of suffering, of difficulty in our lives as individuals, in our existence as a nation, all lead towards a reality that we can't even comprehend. It will be so, so good, we can't even relate to it now. Our sages say about the world to come after Mashiach, after the resurrection of the dead, Ein lo ra'ata zulatecha. Nobody can see it, can contemplate it, can know what it is. What you hid for those who do your will. So hopefully we'll get there soon. I'll open for questions and answers.
Before we open for questions, the class is Le'ilu Nishmas Liba Perlau, Liba Chana Bas Yishayahu David, as well as Meira Chaya Nechama Bracha Bas.
That's Mordechai David, if I remember.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
okay.
You.
Let's okay. go ahead.
We will open for questions. Okay, ladies, you should be able to unmute yourselves.
Rebbetzin, I heard the six things, but I got the first three, but I missed the last three. You
okay,
said the first three.
I think it was produce that was produced in one day and now will take time.
Yeah, that was number four. That was number three, yeah.
That's number three. So let me tell you all of them. Just a second.
Thank you.
That I don't remember them by order. So let me just look it up and tell you the right order. Yeah, okay. So it's the glow of first man.
Yes.
Is life, length of life. Is height. He became shorter, that's three. Four is the produce of the land. Four is the fruits of the trees. And the six is the lights, the luminaries.
Luminaries, right.
Yeah.
Wait, the sixth is what?
Luminaries.
The luminaries.
That what? They were changed? The size was changed?
Yeah.
The spiritual light in this world, God diminished. Ah.
Okay, and what did it mean with the trees? With the trees,
that you plant a tree and in one day it will grow.
Right,
you'll
right.
have fruits in one day.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay. Anybody else?
It was.
What do you mean the glow?
We can get some glimpse of it when we look at faces of very, very righteous people. You look at them and you see that they shine on a very, very, very high level. There was a shine from the face of first man. Our sages tell us that even after he died, the two heels of his body, the heel is the most physical part of a body, right? The lesser life gave light more than the sun. And obviously we speak about spiritual light. Meaning it was a person that you looked at, it was unbelievable. You saw godliness on a very, very high level. And this was diminished to an extent after the sin.
Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else?
Yes, question. Rebbetzin, when you say Eliyahu will come and turn us to Hashem, will he be like sort of Mashiach?
No, it'll be the one to prepare for Mashiach.
To prepare.
Because before we do tshuva, there is no point in bringing Mashiach,
Right.
because we don't have the ability to contain
To
it, right?
receive,
So
right.
he will bring us to the level of being able to face Mashiach and his time.
It wasn't easy I know you did a beautiful job, but I was like, the vav, the head, the mem in the
I
middle of
know.
the word in the end. Oh yeah. But okay,
I
I tried.
know it's a little confusing, but I think the idea
Right.
can be gotten and it's worthwhile. That's why I summed it up a few times if you paid
Right.
attention. I know it's complicated,
It's complicated.
but I felt it's worthwhile. If you would have had 2 hours and you would find out all the letters by yourself, it would have been clearer, but we are limited in time. So I did the best I could.
Right.
Maybe if you listen to it a second time, now that you
Maybe.
have the
Yeah.
thing, I think you'll be able to get it.
Rebbetzin, 1 minute. I'm still missing something. So
Yeah.
the six things. I'm going back to the six things. So the first thing was the diminishing glow of Adam. The second thing was that he wasn't going to live forever. He was going to die. The third
Right.
thing was that he was shorter. That his height
Right.
was shortened. The fourth thing
Right.
was that the fruits wouldn't grow anymore in one day. The fifth thing, I didn't understand the fruits of the tree. What's the difference between the fourth and the fifth?
Vegetables and fruits. Usually, vegetables grow quicker than fruits, right? Both
Yes.
will grow in one day.
So the fifth thing is the vegetables, or the fifth thing is the
No, the
fruits?
fourth is vegetables, the fifth is fruits, and the
Okay.
sixth is the lights.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I have a
Thank you.
question.
Yeah.
How will we know it's Eliyahu
When he will come, we'll know.
Navi?
First, there is the
Okay.
shofar, Gadol that will blow. We'll know. Obviously, we have to know, right? So we'll know. Hashem will make sure that we know. In general, the Rambam says that everything that has to do with the times of Mashiach, we don't know the details. Because Hashem doesn't give us information beyond what we need in order to fulfill our purpose. So what do we have to know? We have to know a time will come, we'll do tshuva. How exactly will it come, what it will happen, we'll experience.
Okay. Miss
Okay.
Hashem soon.
Amen.
Okay. Have a good week.
Have a good week, Revitina.
Kol tov.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks.
Next week, no, next week is Pascha. The week after is Shavuot. Okay.
Amen.
Kol tov. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Sure.